Hey, it's Friday night. We're actually a little early. It's warm beer in the cheap seats. I'm Casey with Big Mike. Let's get to the show.
What's happening, everybody? It's Big Mike. It's Friday night. It's warm beer in the cheap seats. Here's what we got coming up tonight. We got Field of Dreams.
Yes.
We have a very monumental movie we're going to discuss from how many years ago?
It was like 35 years ago.
Yeah. 35 years ago. I don't know what Jeopardy's thinking. And the Subway Slam might be entering politics. So without further ado, here we go.
Yeah. So, and then Big Ed's going to join us in a little bit. And sweet Melissa is here somewhere in the studio.
Somewhere in the studio.
Somewhere in the studio.
There she is. I heard the cackling.
So last night, Fox put in the Major League Baseball did something called the Field of Dreams, and what they were doing is kind of replicate that something special, that special sauce that movie had created, like the mythology of the pastime, if you will. And I thought they did a fantastic job and had it out there in Iowa, right next to the cornfield where they filmed the movie. They actually had, built a stadium and a cornfield. You had Smoltz and Joe Buck calling it for Fox, wearing proper attire for, say, like the 1920s.
Wow.
Yankees and White Sox wore jerseys of that era. And it was pretty fun. They had the players walk out from the cornfield in. And even Kevin Costner was there.
I heard about Costner showing up.
Yeah, and he came up to the booth and talked for a while. And it was a very entertaining game. And the game ended in a walk-off home run. Tim Anderson of the White Sox hits a home run to end the game. So
pretty appropriate.
It was. I mean, it was beautiful. The cinematography to catch the sun setting. You know, you got the dark sky, but you have all the colors of the sunset. And there was one camera shot you saw like a hot air balloon.
Oh, nice.
So that's something you don't always see the baseball game. Yeah. So you know where everything's kind of done over the top and it's big and it's loud. I think where the strength of this is, it was quiet, you know, it wasn't a jumbotron just blasting a beer commercial at you. Just it let you just soak in the game for what it is.
I think that's cool. The pre-show show, we chatted about, I wonder if this will be something they do again. I think it will be. If they spent the money to build the stadium, did you get any...
It sounds like the Cubs are going to be playing there next year.
That's pretty cool. Well, did you get any of the TV ratings as far as the
viewership? I don't know.
Viewership?
It's hard to say, but it sounded like a lot of people tuned in, like people that I know that are into it. You know, obviously, people that are into sports were kind of watching it. All the reception from it was very positive from all the different sports news agencies. I read a really good review on Sports Illustrated about it too, but it was fun. It's and I like Smoltz with Joe Buck. I think that's a good baseball tandem there for broadcasting. The Fox did a fantastic job. Doing the game, and so I look forward to them doing it in the future. Oh, and three Yankees ball players got lost in the corn maze.
Did they really?
So, which, if you've ever been in a corn maze, that's actually
– it's possible.
Very, very possible. But it's just funny to think that there are a couple of Yankees wandering around lost.
Are we supposed to go left or right? Do you remember?
No.
Hey, who's that?
It's Jimmy Mike. How are you guys?
Jimmy Mike. Hi, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate that.
Yeah. We haven't had you in a couple weeks. Yeah, you missed out on our wrestling adventure.
I heard some of the highlights at the after show. Sounded pretty fun.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
You know, well, I did catch a picture. You could see a Subway Slam poster.
Did you?
Yeah, now I got to rewatch the whole show. Now, I'll tell you, there was one segment where the guy on the left, the broadcaster, when he was talking to the crowd.
Yes.
There was a guy holding up a white sign
that blocked our
sign. They kept blocking our sign. But no, not McAfee. But
no, I know that fucking guy.
He never held up a sign the whole night. It was so crazy.
Yeah, he would have had a perfect view of I know, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, that's Big Ed.
Big Ed.
Hey guys.
Hey, Big Ed.
Hey, they, yeah, these signs.
Hey, any of you guys ever blow bubbles when you were a kid?
This sounds like a loaded question.
Oh, either you did or you didn't. It's not a, it's just a.
The answer is obviously yes.
Sure, Big Ed.
Sweet Melissa blew bubbles.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know. He told me he was at rest. You know, he was at. I saw him in the, yeah, in the lobby at SmackDown.
Thanks. Huh?
I saw bubbles at the
explain it after the show, Sweet Melissa.
He was telling me about his adventures with Melissa and Big Mike.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I asked if you blew bubbles when you were a kid. God damn. Come on, guys. That bubbles, he gets around.
He does.
He loves wrestling.
And his cats.
Meow.
That bubble.
Park Boys.
Yeah.
Well, Subway Slam's supposed to call in tonight. I'm not sure when he
is. He making a special announcement?
Wait, all right, yeah, hold on. Stand by. Okay. We got the Subway Slam that's joining us live on the show. Subway Slam, welcome back.
Hey, hello. How you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Hey, Slam, how is it with your new caretaker?
Wait, what do you mean caretaker?
Aren't your primary caretakers in South America?
Oh yeah, they're doing well. They're coming back tomorrow morning.
Subway Slam, are you out of the slammer?
Wait, could you repeat that again?
I said Subway Slam, are you out of the slammer?
No, not right now. You know what? I think I got an important announcement to make. It's good news.
Okay.
So my first good news is that with that weirdo governor resigning, I think it's a good opportunity.
You talking about Hansy?
Yeah, Hansy. yeah, I think it's a touchy, good idea for...
You're too much touchy. Yeah. You touched my wee-wees. How funny.
I don't think he touched wee-wees. He touched girl wee-wees.
Yeah.
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 Wee.
So go ahead.
I think it's for my I think it's for my best interest to run for governor for New York. It's gonna
you
be amazing.
Hear it here first, folks.
Oh my god.
It's breaking news.
I'm going to run for governor in 2022, and I'm going to make sure I win.
You have to get out of jail first, right? I mean, that probably would help.
I am out of jail.
Oh,
yeah,
you are?
Yeah, so I am out of jail, and the first thing I did out of jail, actually, have you ever heard of the guy, have you ever heard the actor Drake Bell?
No. Yeah. From Josh and Drake from a Nickelodeon show, correct.
Yeah, the Nickelodeon guy. Yeah, so I don't think you guys are aware that he was in court recently for being a weirdo to a 15-year-old.
Yeah. Boy or girl?
Girl.
Okay.
So basically, what I actually did after the court session happened is I flew all the way to Cleveland, Ohio, and beat up Drake Bell's attorney.
I think that's assault.
Yeah.
I got away with it. Yeah, and I'm not in jail because it's went incognito battery. Mode. Yeah, I went incognito mode through that.
No,
no one's going to know that you're an ex-con? Or you're going to get that expunged?
Yep.
Oh, I see who this dude is. Yeah.
So you want to get elected and then immediately impeached and having to resign as governor of New York?
I'm gonna get elected, and then I'm gonna be a governor as long as I can.
So what is this going to do to your wrestling career?
What are they feeding you in the Slammer?
Well, my wrestling career, I'm going to continue. I'm not done yet. I got unfinished business with that Walmart Randy Savage guy.
Oh, you're talking about the Ultramasculine Gentleman?
Yeah, Ultramasculine.
Yeah,
he's kind of a cool guy.
He visits the show off.
He does.
Yeah, him. I got unfinished business with him.
He probably doesn't accost, lawyers.
Yeah.
Subway Slam. Subway Slam. Hey, are you going to ask Jesse Ventura any pointers?
Wait, could you say that again?
Jesse Ventura ran in Minnesota years ago, and he was an ex wrestler.
Jesse the Mind.
Yeah. Now he lives in.
Maybe you should find out if he has any good ways of getting you into office. Maybe he can help you, network.
I'm gonna
make sure. You know what? Thank you for that, Jimmy. I'm gonna call him. See if I get any advice. Hopefully I get good advice.
He might be a fan of the show, so he might call in. You never know.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Jesse, call in if you're out there.
We'll get a call out to Mexico. That's where he lives.
Yeah, Baja, Mexico.
Subway. Do you guys? Do you guys
from your mother, and it says okay. That's all it says.
Well, you know what? We got something exciting to announce too. So stand by. We are officially endorsing Andrew Yang for governor of New York. Go Yang Gang.
Wait, what? No, he's a loser.
Yeah. It's so weird that you came out and said this. This is kind of weird and awkward. But yeah, I mean, I got my Yang Gang shirt on. I mean, he was just fresh off of getting his, the mayor's race. I'm like, man, I could keep using this shirt. So Yang Gang for life. We got you back. Wait. You can do it this time. Third time's a charm to get a job.
What are you talking? No. Why? No.
He's a long-time listener, isn't he?
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, the universal income, and he's worth a couple thousand dollars. What's not to lose? And he's a real New Yorker.
What are you talking about? I am a real New Yorker. The correct way to say New York is New York.
You like the Yankees and the Mets. That's kind of weird.
The Mets are a tragedy right now, and the Yankees, I don't want to talk about them because I probably got lost in a cornfield too.
Wow.
They certainly didn't sign him for their brains.
Yeah. The Yankees, I don't need to talk about them because they're in Iowa. And got lost in the cornfield. And then the Mets, I heard they're putting Syndergaard as a relief pitcher once he comes back, or if he comes back.
Yep. Well,
Subway Slam, you kind of got that politician thing. I don't like the Mets. I don't like the Yankees. Pick a side.
Mets are like only a half game out. The Yankees,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, pick a side. Yeah,
count.
Okay.
One, okay. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven games out.
Yeah. So here's the thing with the Mets. For their next 13 games, they have to play the Dodgers and Giants. So that's going to be tough for them because the Dodgers and Giants have been the two best teams in baseball.
Subway Slam, if this was a Sesame Street podcast, this episode would be sponsored by the number 4, as in the Yankees are going to finish fourth place in their own division.
What are you talking about? How the Yankees finishing fourth? Okay. I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna ask. I don't know how you're thinking about this, but I don't know how Yankees are going to finish fourth They're on a tear with their new buddies, Joey Gallo, Anthony Rizzo, but Rizzo will come
back.
So is
Toronto. Toronto's 7-3, their last 10.
Yeah. But also look at Boston. Yeah. Hey, but you look at Boston, too. They've been bad. They're like they've lost like a bunch of games since the trade deadline.
Subway Slam, if this was a dance-off, you just got served.
No, I didn't.
And I'm talking the dance off like a grandma's boy. That kind of dance off.
Okay.
That's a dance off. I've never seen one.
Okay, I'll say this: the Red Sox. I think they're forgotten now because they're doing bad now. The front office.
Four games out.
I know, but the front office just screwed them. Of probably winning the World Series. They're not winning the division. It's probably going to be the Rays. Even though the Rays just got destroyed.
Look, there's a lot of baseball left. Yeah, but they're 7-3 in their last 10 also. So.
Yeah.
And they won last week.
Yeah, and I'm not going to talk about the 20-run thing with the Rays, how they gave up 20 runs with
that. Hey, or like when they play the Yankees and the Yankees beat them. I mean, the Rays beat them 14-1.
Yeah. 14-0.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a zero.
But that was before we got Gallo.
0.0. Bubbles had his way that day.
Well, yeah, Gallo was on his way. But I'll say this, everybody's been getting COVID on the team. Rizzo was not vaccinated. Which is why it's probably going to take
Hey, is that one of the Jerky Boys, Rizzo? He's always like, hey, Jerky. Is that who that is?
No, Rizzo from
Is that Frank Rizzo playing?
From Greece. Rizzo from Greece.
Glasses.
Dr.
No, that's Rizzo from MASH, the motor pool guy.
Fucking Rizzo.
Okay. There are a lot of Rizzos out there.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm running for governor, and Andrew Yang sucks. He has terrible hair and can't be governor because of that.
Wow. Well, we're still supporting him. We're still supporting. We believe we're the Yang gang.
What about me? What about Subway?
We don't discriminate against hairstyles.
Yeah, yeah.
All hairstyles matter.
Otherwise, you'd be in trouble too.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, Andrew Yang cannot be governor. He's not qualified.
You know, maybe, I mean, if you were running for alderman of, like, I don't know, Staten Island, maybe we could get behind that or something. I mean, if one of the impractical jokers don't run, then we're going to back them automatically.
They have a great show.
They're good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they make people do things that they shouldn't do.
Hey, yeah. maybe if I ask Joe Gatto if he can run with me as a lieutenant governor, maybe I would win.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
Well, yeah, you have to have a running.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can't run solo.
Yeah, I'm probably going to pick Joe Gatto or Tristan Thompson.
See, I would choose Mr. Med as my lieutenant governor.
Because he flips the bird.
I think I would pick Hunter Biden because he knows everybody. Positive. He knows how to get things done.
Or how about,
and he's already got a great song.
Meet the Mets.
He's only lost Mets, 3 laptops. That's not a lot, right? 3 laptops.
Or maybe how about I have Jacob deGrom retire from baseball and he could run with me.
No.
That's not an idea.
Oh, you know what would be perfect? Mysterio's son, and he could wear the square D onesie all the time.
Yeah.
Oh,
with a suit coat.
Oh, Dominic.
Yeah. And then you got to rename him Dominic Rizzo.
Yeah.
Dominic Rizzo. That's interesting. I don't think he's from New York, so Dominic Mysterio, time to fact check. Oh no, he's from San Diego. Yep, no way. I want a New York native.
Oh, you know what? Andrew Dice Clay would be perfect. You get him back from Vegas. He'd be like, hey, this other guy that's a governor, he's a real douchebag. You know, you could have
him. Oh, yeah. Andrew Dice Clay?
Yeah, I think he's
Rub-a-dub-dub, I came on her tub.
You know what?
I'm not. Ew.
Is he still doing, is he doing stand-up?
Little boy Blue, he needed the money.
And then she goes, ew. After he goes, ew, she's like, ew.
Yeah, you know what? I'll say this. By the next episode that Warm Beer and the Cheap Sheets do, I will announce my running mate for this election.
Perfect.
Are you running
Perfect.
From prison? Oh, that came out funny. Don't
yeah,
run from prison.
I got released from jail.
His mommy bailed him out.
She's in Colombia right now, doing her microwave stuff again. You know what? I'll see what I could do. I got plenty of options to go with.
We want to hear your options next week.
Absolutely. Without fail.
It was breaking news. That's a good idea.
We want to thank you for choosing our podcast to, you know,
break the news.
Thank you. You know what? Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And Subway down.
All right. Subway down.
Subway slim. Subway slim. Well,
there you go.
There we go. That is breaking news. It's where news breaks. It's here.
Right here on Warm Beer and Cheap Seats. And if our fans wanted to get in touch with us, Casey, they could do it how?
Oh, well, you can email us at the show at warmbeerandthecheapseats.com, or you can reach us on Twitter through the Twitterverse at Beer Seats. So I saw an article that I sent Mike earlier this week from the Hollywood Reporter, written by this Phil Perello, about Transformers the movie. And not the Michael Bay ones, but the original animated movie, which is about 35 years ago. Jimmy, Mike, did you watch this movie when you were a kid growing up?
What was the name of it?
Transformers the movie.
I did. I did watch that when I was a kid.
35 years ago. Yeah, okay. Wow. So, you know, as a kid, I'm watching it, you know, I don't really understand the concept that in the end, it's just a vehicle for Hasbro to sell a lot of toys. I saw the movie with Big Mike in the theaters, and
we saw it at the
was that not
Mission Bell? We did see it at Mission Bell.
Was it Mission Bell? I thought it was Main Street 6.
Oh, no, maybe it was. No, it was Main Street 6.
Yeah, Main Street usually had more of the kid movies there, anyway.
Is that the one by the old OBs?
Correct,
yeah,
that's the one.
There was great soundtrack to this movie.
It was. There was a rock and roll, you know, it was a rock, like metal.
A metal soundtrack.
Yep. Yeah. It was a very adult kids movie, which no one realized at the time. So you're about 10 minutes in it, and your most iconic character is murdered. Not killed. I mean murdered.
Oh, my God.
Fucking Megatron, just point blank, kills Optimus Prime.
Right there. That's how the movie starts. They kill Ironsides, Prowl, and basically half the Autobots, like, starting the movie. I was shocked as a kid.
So before the show started, we were having a discussion about this, and that's what I wanted to do, reaction. What was your reaction when you the beginning? This was the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, I was like, how can this happen? Like, what are they doing? Like, why are they doing this?
Did this upset you? Were you upset?
I was very upset.
I was upset too.
I was very upset. First off, I was like, they killed Ironside. Mike has Ironside.
Yeah.
I was like, why are they killing these guys? And then you put the movie on the back of a character that no one's invested in, Hot Rod.
Hot Rod becomes Rodimus Prime.
Who I couldn't give two shits about.
Which Hot Rod was a new character, which was in the new toy line, Generation 2 Transformers.
That they were hoping to sell.
So this was just, again.
Now, I didn't leave crying. Apparently, there were kids that cried, and parents complained.
Yeah, this was a big deal, man.
Yeah. But
and Hasbro was like, oh, shit.
And that toy line bombed.
Bomb.
They had to bring back Optimus Prime. Optimus Prime.
So here's what there was a screenwriter, Ron Friedman, told him he wrote some G.I. Joe episodes, some Transformers episodes. He was on the staff to write for Transformers, the movie. They said, he told him, do not kill off Prime. This is bad. This is your flagship character. This is like a father figure to the Autobots.
Yes.
And to
the kids
who watch this show.
Yes.
The toy executives are like, fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah.
We got to peddle some new. We need them to buy.
As are lighting their cigars with $100
bills. We need these kids to buy the new toys, not the toys we're selling. We
yeah.
Sell
they're laughing at the kids crying, you know? Like,
yeah, I mean, you can make a movie like and make the Hasbro executives like villains.
The villains. They were the villains.
I mean, yeah. I mean, fat cats, you know?
I would definitely go see it then.
Now, Jimmy, did you ever see this movie? You saw the original, right?
I saw the original, but I didn't see this new one.
Oh, okay. No. So, I mean, did you see it like in a theater? Because we're about the same age, I think.
Yeah, we are the same age. So I think I remember seeing it on, was that like mid-80s?
Yes. It was somewhere like 86, 87.
I think I had it on my beta.
Exactly.
We probably got it at Blockbuster on my beta VCR.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just remembered the movie like really upset me, but at the same time, it was like one of my favorite movies still.
It's still one of my
like
favorite
emotionally,
movies.
There was a lot of emotion in
1986,
that movie.
Guys. Yeah, 1986. Summer of 86. Oh no!
I mean, it's
August 86.
So you guys are young.
Big Ed.
I remember sitting next to Casey in theater. Our moms dropped us off.
Mm-hmm.
And the candy and the soda we smuggled in was given to us.
Yep.
Because that's what we did. Our mom smuggled. They took us to
Eckerd's.
Yep.
You got to go to Eckerd's.
Go to Eckerd's first. Pick the candy you want because we're not paying the prices at the at the movie theater. They sat our asses down. Here's your smuggled in candy and soda.
See you when the movie's over.
And I remember the excitement.
Well, they used to advertise the running time so the parents could figure out what time to pick up the kids.
Yeah, so Honey and Barbara went to
probably Wags.
Wags, and they were smoking cigarettes and drinking coffee.
Probably.
Honey should not have been smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
Barbara was a bad influence.
Yeah, she'd pull out her little cool menthols.
And they would drink coffee, smoke cigarettes until it was time to get us. But I remember when the theater like
yeah, and then I, you know what? Let me tell you something. These two broads, they would talk till the wee hours. I would be coming back from the bar, and they'd still be in like the Village Inn. I'd go in there, and they'd be pretend like mom would pretend like she didn't smoke, with the cigarette butts in the ashtray. The lipstick were two different colors.
Right.
I'm saying, what if Barbie keep changing her lipstick?
That's pretty awesome. So let me tell you about this movie. I remember the theater lights going down and how excited I was to see this film.
Yes.
This was a big deal.
Yeah.
This was the summer. And the theater was packed. I remember that.
Yep.
Kids. All the kids. And the parents are like, what the fuck are we watching? The ones that were here in the film. Or in the theater and watch the film. And then you got this bloodbath.
And it kills Starscream, too. He finally becomes the head of the Decepticons. And
then
he gets killed.
Then he gets killed because Galvatron comes back.
Right. Who's Megatron?
Megatron. Orson Welles, I mean.
Is Unicron?
Unicron. I thought Unicron, wow, blew my mind. That movie, it still blows my mind, that movie.
Yeah, but it goes to show Hasbro had no idea what they were getting invested into. They just thought, like, we're making so much money right now selling these toys. Wait till they see these new toys. That's all they were thinking. They're like, we'll show them this movie. They're going to see the new toys. They're going to want it.
Yeah,
and it fucking backfired. They did everything against what you do in marketing, which is protect your brand. Yeah. They absolutely destroyed their brand.
First 15 minutes of the movie, their brand was
dead. It never came back. They've never recovered. Generation 1 is the only one that kids still care about to this day.
Pretty much. Generation 2, I could give two shits.
The cartoon was never the same.
Nope.
No.
They had to backpedal, redo the whole cartoon to bring back Optimus Prime.
Yep.
And it didn't make sense. I stopped watching. That's when I became a man.
Yeah.
That's when I became a man.
Too soon.
You got real bitter after that, Casey.
Sure did.
Yeah.
You know, so I took off my rose-colored glasses and I saw the world for what it was.
Yeah.
It's true. This is our childhood, man.
Start drinking scotch.
Yeah, you know. Hey. But again, you know, the film, I think they, here's what I think is cool.
Yeah.
They took that cartoon, they took a 30-minute cartoon, and they made it into a pretty credible
Good movie. Yeah.
They had some, Judd Nelson was Hot Rod.
Yeah, yeah.
They had some, and then you had the standard voice characters. My favorite voice actor from Transformers,
Peter Cullen.
Nope, Scatman Carruthers, Jazz.
Oh yeah. That's
because
right.
He was Hong Kong Fooey.
Yep,
he was Jazz, and a number of other characters. But I thought Jazz was the coolest Autobot. Not my favorite. My favorite was Prime.
Yeah,
but the coolest Autobot was Jazz. By far.
Well, Peter Cullen and the guy that did Megatron, they voiced just about every cartoon any kid watched in the 80s.
Peter Cullen, multiple characters on Transformers too, by the way.
Yeah, and then multiple in He-Man.
Yeah. They had a pretty good – were those all Deke involved with – because Marvel had their hands in both of those,
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, they did a comic book line on both of them.
Which, you know, the comic book line, the TV show, sold the toys.
Yep.
That pushed the toys.
The comic book was so different than the show.
I never really read the comic book, and you did, so fill us in on that.
The Transformers comic book was really dark. Like, from day one, the Autobots landed on Earth and just immediately got their ass kicked, and then they were just trying to survive the whole time. They were on the defensive the whole time. It wasn't like the TV show. Something would happen. There was some light battle, and then you know the Autobots won, and Decepticons lost. Now the comic book, like Optimus Prime, was like basically on life support. He never left the ship.
Really?
That was crashing
inside of the mountain because you wouldn't notice the fucking
There's like a volcano. Yeah, they never really explained that storyline
Now
listen, if I was a kid, I was very curious. If I saw a mountain, I'm gonna go check it out.
And then if you saw like a fucking spaceship crashed into the side of it,
there were four trees in my neighborhood. I checked out trees. Okay, so you sure as shit I was gonna check out a mountain.
So that you know, you had to suspend a little disbelief there.
The comic book was way better. Yeah. Way better. Yeah. But, yeah. So, you know, I don't know. It was funny reading this whole thing, and I haven't thought about the movie, so in a long time.
I had the movie on DVD until I loaned it to somebody, and they never returned it. That's the beginning of the movie, okay.
Yeah.
Dude, this jazzes me up right now. It gets me all excited.
Yeah.
Because they had the regular, the Transformers coming out, the two words.
Yep.
Just like on the cartoon.
Yep.
Boy, that meets the eye. Oh, right. Dude. Solid, man. And it was right around this time.
It was August 8th.
Yep. 1986. Here we are.
Mets were in first place, too. It was a good summer. Mets were probably 20 games over.
I was 9. I was 9 years old. I was almost 5 and I'm almost 40. So, very cool movie. Probably going to have to watch it this weekend.
About Eric Idle, too.
Yes.
One of the, Monty Python.
Yes, there he is. He played
From that garbage planet.
Yes.
Played that weird character.
Oh, Junkatron.
Yeah. Great names.
So, in fact, the funny thing, after you sent me this article this week at work, instead of working, I was fucking off. Going down the Wikipedia rabbit hole on Transformers the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, reading about the different voice actors. Reading Weird Al was on the Junk Planet too.
Oh yeah, that's
remember
right.
That? Yeah.
Later on, too.
Yeah, they did live action movies with Michael Bay.
None of those hold a candle to Transformers, the movie, the anime.
Well, right? I mean, that's, you know, Michael Bay's good at blowing stuff up, though.
Yeah. Were they good movies? Yes. Have I watched them? Yes. Were they Transformers, the movie from 1986?
Right. No. Right. Never captured the soul.
No. I mean, it was pretty cool. Oh, and it took place in 2005, right? Wasn't that the year it was supposed to take place in? That was far off in the future. Now we're like past that, further into the future.
I was still convinced we were going to have
set in 2005.
Cars. Yeah,
thought we were going to have Jetsons cars by then.
Yeah.
Guess what? I don't want to disappoint you. We don't.
But yeah, did you like when you're a kid watching the Jetsons? Were you like hopeful that would be your future? You'd have like a little robot,
Rosie.
Yeah.
No,
he watched, he read the book 1984 and he's living it now.
Oh, okay.
Jetsons were good, but you know, I was a Flintstone guy.
Well, no.
Yeah, I preferred Flintstones over Jetsons. I still enjoy
I only watched Jetsons if I had to. And I probably watched it every day.
It's not like I had to. I enjoyed it. I watched the Jetsons. I found it
nice. Well, you make sounding watching the Jetsons as a kid like that was your chores. You're like,
I gotta watch the Jetsons.
Yeah, because it wasn't the you know, the Jetsons were,
you put out your butt and you're like
the Flintstones, you know. It was the
one
same
was
concept.
Blue collar, one was white collar, and you watched the Flintstones. I get it.
The Jetsons are white collar.
Right?
Yeah.
They didn't have to do anything. They just pressed a button. Things worked. The Flintstones had it wrong.
I like the whole concept of everything else being done by somebody.
Yeah.
But obviously that's not what it's like. So I was right not to be hopeful.
This is true.
Still swinging an axe.
Yeah. Aren't we all?
In one way or another.
Yep.
In our exactly. own way. So, you know, in other news, how about this Jeopardy?
Do you guys watch Jeopardy?
Is that Blossom going to be doing that? Is that what that is?
Yeah. Yeah, Blossom's going to be doing like this special episode, whatever the hell that means for Jeopardy.
No. Yeah, but so. She's only going to do, yeah, like you said, special episodes. But Joey Lawrence has to be there. And anytime that she corrects someone,
he's going to go, whoa.
Right. Yeah. I think that's the only way you make it. And then they have Joey. The guy that's you have one of the guys that was a producer for the show, a longtime producer, is going to be the main guy. The main.
He's going to be the Alex replacement.
Yeah, which I'm still shocked.
LeVar Burton.
Yeah.
And, you know, the older brother's not going to be there because, well, he OD'd because he was a junkie.
Who did?
Who?
Blossom's older brother.
Oh, yeah. Right.
They would already have that episode. You know,
I don't remember that one.
Well, I don't remember it either, but I got you.
Yeah. Oh, right. Well, 20 years, you know.
Yeah.
His money ran out, so he did a lot of good stuff.
They have a budget.
So, you know, LeVar Burton did some. I don't know if he did one show, multiple shows.
He did a week.
He did a week. And listen, I remember him from Reading Rainbow. I watched that
Reading
on PBS.
Rainbow.
Reading Rainbow, man, it was cool.
I
I hate to admit it, but he was the first black guy I ever met.
Well, how about that?
Wow, you actually met him?
No, I didn't, but on TV, I thought I did.
Yeah.
And he was on Star Trek.
Star Trek Next Generation. Yep.
Yeah. He was blind.
He was. He wore, it looked like, you know, those things just over the eyes. It was great.
So, but I think he would have been a better choice.
And? He's Toby.
Kunta Kinte.
He's an icon. How do you not give this guy the job?
He's got a great resume.
Resume.
This seems like a fucking.
Then he was really a rainbow guy.
Was the biggest no brainer in the history of no brainers. Was to hire LeVar Burton,
and somebody fucked up.
What is for 200, Alex?
Yeah, you talk about
who wasn't picked to be the new host of Jeopardy. It should have been.
Yeah, he got robbed.
Ba-bam, daily double.
Well, who's the host now?
You know, I'd be happy with just the reruns. I'd be happy with Alex Trebek in the reruns. And I'd play all my friends like, Alex never died. I know all these answers. I'm that smart.
Let's do it.
Well, his name's Mike Richards. So not to be confused with Michael Richards, a.k.a. Kramer.
Correct.
So there are some people who probably saw the headline. They're like, oh, shit, oh, Kramer.
And then they like clicked on it and they go, oh, shit. Yeah.
That's not Kramer.
That would have been more interesting. I don't know. Weird move.
Yeah. And the Maya and Bialik part, another weird move.
Yeah, we already saw her.
Nakamura just won the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, we got wrestling.
Yeah. King Nakamura. Nice. You know what? I got to say, he has the best opener. He had the loudest reaction from the crowd that night.
I'm telling you, I was not King Nakamura. I wasn't a big fan until seeing him live.
Yeah, it's a rock and roll performance. Absolutely. It's awesome. I loved it.
Now, here's the thing. A belt changed hands on a non-pay-per-view on just a nondescript Friday night.
Doesn't happen often.
So no, that tells me it's not going to be long. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to hold the belt too long.
Yeah, maybe leading the SummerSlam.
Yep. It's going to be short-lived.
McAfee's dancing on the table.
On top of the announce table.
He's a pretty animated broadcaster.
Yeah, he is. He's dancing with his Einhorn tucked away.
Yeah. People right behind him are like, ooh.
Ooh, he is Einhorn.
Yeah. I still think he's Finkel.
That poster actually turned out way better. Especially with
both sides. It was a good contrast.
Yeah. McAfee's Einhorn is McAfee. That was just
he's
good.
He's acting pretty flamboyant right now on TV.
I saw a Buick Roadmaster station wagon today.
Wow. That's rare sight anymore.
Really good condition. Yeah, really good condition, too.
That car will bring, those cars will bring money right now.
I believe it.
They're bringing money.
Well, didn't they put like Corvette engines in those?
They had a 5.7, 350. LT1, very similar to what was in the Corvette.
Yeah.
Not as aggressive. Yeah, right. Not as aggressive of a cam, but, you know, pretty stout. So, yeah. Vintage station wagons, man. That started catching on fire about 10 or 15 years ago.
But see, that's like of a different era because that was the last of, like in the 90s.
Last of the full-size big wagon.
Yeah.
Oh, Mike, someone in my complex has like a 78 Caprice Classic. The box is nice.
Like,
is it nice or is it a shit box?
No, it's nice with hubcaps like yours. Like it's yeah, I would say it's comparable. I didn't stop and look at the interior, but it was pretty clean from the outside. I'm going, oh, that'd be a. It's got that 305 in it, probably. You know, a pig of a motor.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
you know, one wheel peel.
Big Ed, do you remember Milton that worked with the Big Green Pepper? He had a Pontiac Parisienne.
Parisienne,
which was a Canadian produced
car, which essentially was like
the like Bonneville,
a Bonneville,
right?
Bonneville. It's like a Bonneville, but it was
a little smaller.
It's a B body, like a Caprice, same platform.
It was black.
It was a tad smaller. Yeah. Oh no, yeah. You know what? You're right. That was the Caprice counterpart.
Correct. In Canada.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep, the Parisienne.
That's the only one I've ever seen.
That's when they all started looking the same, you know.
As a kid in the 80s, I remember
that was Roger Smith's brainchild.
Yeah, there. Roger Smith fucked General Motors. Worst fucking CEO General Motors ever had. Yeah. Although I do have a General Motors book I'll show you after the show that was given out for the 75th anniversary to employees with a letter from Roger Smith. I have the book with the letter from Roger Smith in it.
Yeah, the letter, it just says, hey, to the employees, fuck you.
Fuck you, I'm going to fuck your company.
I have a golden parachute. No one even knows what that means.
So back to the Parisiennes. I remember seeing a lot of Parisiennes as a kid. That was kind of like, hey, if you wanted something a little nicer than a Caprice, buy a Pontiac.
Yeah.
You know?
I always like seeing Pontiacs.
Pontiacs are nice. I'm a fan of the Pontiac. I've never owned a Pontiac, but I would. It's a good old GM car.
I own a Pontiac Skyhawk, an 85 or 86 Skyhawk.
Wow, Skyhawk.
Well, yeah. Skyhawk would have been a Buick.
Oh, no. It would be a Firehawk. Oh,
sorry, it was a Buick. Sorry.
Oh, what?
And it was a what was that?
I had a 73 Grand Prix with a 455 in it.
It's a Buick Skyhawk, right?
Yeah, Buick Skyhawk. Yeah, Big Ed owned a car with a real man's motor in it. 455. Big block.
Car used to bark second on command. It's cool.
It was my first car. I delivered pizzas in it, and my aunt gave it to me. It was a gray body with... And I went to the junkyard, boneyard, and I got two navy blue doors put on each side. So the doors were
nice. Oh, remember so when that was a really thing tired. For your car in high school? You had to run to the junkyard.
I like
get parts.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
I delivered pizzas for about a week, and the driver's door didn't open up, so I had to jump over the column to get out to pull the pizza out. So it was an interesting job.
You know, I remember going to the junkyard with Redneck John for my Honda Civic to get. An O2 sensor, and I wound up getting a Hirsch shifter knob, and I put it on my Honda. The T-handle, you know, the Hirsch. I got a little adapter, and it fit right on there.
Guys, junkyards are treasure troves of greatness, man.
I had a friend that was always – well, we all had old beaters in high school, but he was always working on his Plymouth. So we were always at
Langston's?
Well, Cofers.
Cofers you pull,
which are all LKQs now. Yeah. But and they had the whole thing, like, if you could just drag it across the line.
Push, pull, or drag.
It was like $29, yeah. As much as you can.
People would take fucking hoods, flip hoods over.
No. His other brother would go and be like, I just need this chair. Like, for what? He's like, oh, it's my video game chair. He pulled a chair out of a car. It was his video game chair in his bedroom. It was awesome. He pulled that out of, like, some Mercury or something.
Yeah,
a bucket seat. There's
Corinthian leather in his bedroom.
Like everyone fought to get that chair.
He got it out of a Cordoba.
He hooked it up to a 12 volt battery, and he's got power seats.
Yeah, I'm gonna recline, and he reclines it falls back because it's not bolted to the ground. You know.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't know if kids nowadays work on cars and stuff. I doubt it.
I don't know. You know what? I got some – in my place of business, I got some young guys that work on cars.
Yeah, that's cool. I didn't know that they're still cool. Kind of into that.
I grew up working on cars. I still like working on cars. But no, to your point, Jimmy, Mike, I think you're right. I think it's a dying art. Kids aren't like, hey, man, I can't wait to get my first car. I'm going to buy this old beater and fix it up. And
it's a couple grand, and they're trying to soup it up, do whatever they want. It's theirs. It's their own piece of their own. And
it's
I think kids are just
spoiled. It's a freedom machine.
Yeah, it's And I have a friend I ride a motorcycle with. He wants to get his kids to ride on the back of it. And the kids are like, that's not cool. That's not cool, Dad. Like,
kids don't like motorcycles?
He likes motorcycles, but his kids don't want to get on the back. They just think it's not cool to get on the back of a motorcycle. And a lot of these kids now don't want to get their license. It's bizarre.
Well, Jimmy, Mike, kids don't want to get their driver's license. Like, at 16?
When I was 15, I couldn't wait to get
like, they'd rather be chauffeured around by their parents or Uber or something. It's bizarre.
No, getting a driver's license and getting a car was all about freedom.
Yeah, man. That's
absolutely.
I would have nowhere to go. I'd be like, I'm just driving around just to be out of the house.
I'll admit this. You know what I did last night? I took the Chrysler out. I just took the Chrysler out for a ride because I was like, I want to go drive my old car and go put some money.
It's just fun.
We actually, a group of us, we made a movie, and it was just us driving our cars around. Rather reckless. Actually, I'm surprised none of us lost our license. What we record was probably all reckless driving.
Yeah, it would have been tickets.
I think you guys are the poster child of what not to do.
It was like
they were jackasses. They were dumbasses.
you were dumbasses.
What do you mean we're a dumbass? I am a dumbass.
I think Big Casey has it all still recorded on VHS still. We're trying to get them converted to DVD or digital.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Did you guys ever play?
Guys trying to one wheel peel with your straight six and slant six motors with no balls.
No. Well, what you had to do is with the V6, you had to take the air filter, the cover, you
flip it over,
flip it upside down, so it drew in a little bit more air.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Everyone knew that.
Sure you did. Absolutely.
That was the quick fix. And then go to Discount Auto Parts and put like that little can of like 104 octane fuel in additive.
Fuel additive. Yeah. Because that's going to make a difference.
Give it a little juice.
Hey, did you guys ever play mailbox baseball when you guys were kids?
No.
No, Big Eddie.
I put chicken wings in people's mailboxes.
I've blown up a couple of mailboxes.
Apparently
blew the smithereens, but yeah.
So I guess people used to do it to our mailbox when I was a kid in New York, and my father just took a steel pole and just that would probably break someone's arm.
Yeah.
You know, Big Mike pulled it out of the ground. With his with the killer bee. After we moved. Mike Lehane.
He had a
firebird.
The firebird. Huh?
Yeah, he pulled it out of the ground after we moved.
Put a chain on it and pull it?
Who had the Oldsmobile Cutlass? Was that Jeff?
Jeff had a black Cutlass.
Yeah. That's what I remember. And he had like the back end, the suspension was kind of lifted, which was like a thing to do back then.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So
this is after we moved.
I remember.
We have baby Di here.
Yep.
Hey, Di. Welcome to the show.
So I remember when Big Ed took my 1988 IROC Z20.
This doesn't sound good.
I'll finish this.
Big Ed.
Good one.
Best story ever.
Mama D had this 88 IROC, and her boyfriend put these new tires, these new Goodyear Gator bags.
Brand new tires.
I took and I did like a NASCAR victory burnout behind the pizza place.
Oh my
for about 2 or 3 minutes and just and then Corey pulls up, you know? And he
from
was
from Hungary. Now Corey's from Hungary.
Oh God.
So he sounds like he's from like Russia or
he's got an Eastern European accent. Okay.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Go ahead, Big Ed.
I don't really remember. I don't think he said anything, but if, you know.
Are you kidding me? I know exactly what he said.
I know, but I was in the car.
Right. So he looked at you. He looked at me and he said, I will talk to you later. Oh, my gosh. It was. But Louis, Big Ed, the whole entire back of G Peppers, you couldn't see anything. It was a fog out.
A smoke show.
No, you have no idea.
I just kept that thing to the floor, and I just kept turning the wheel. It didn't hit anything. Got lucky.
Yeah, no kidding.
Big Ed walks
like, this into is for her heart.
The place. And Corey's standing there, and Lou and Big Ed is like, "Hey, I wanted to die. I will talk to you later." Not that it mattered because I didn't give a crap. What?
Big Ed, you have all types of burnout things. That Ducati that I bought years ago. It's 1-2 o'clock in the morning coming home from that road trip. And you're like, hey, Jimmy, let me turn it on, make sure it still works. He's spinning the wheels for like 5 minutes. All my neighbors are calling the cops. I'm like, get the fuck.
Big Ed breaks in his painted garage floor.
Big Ed did that to you, Jimmy?
Yes.
That bastard.
And he goes,
I did it to me too.
You know? Goes, we're going to talk. We're going to talk.
Alexa, stop.
Yeah, Alexa. That was a good road trip.
It was a great road trip.
Oh my God!
Becky, the $2 stripper,
the $2 bills. Yeah.
Hey Alexa, add Mountain Dew Code Red to my shopping list.
Alexa, cast another vote for Trump again for me, all right?
Oh my gosh, y'all are
fucked
up.
Hey Alexa, look up black cock.
What does that got to do with anything?
Oh my gosh, that's my new sister-in-law in the background. Yay! Hey, or that old broad.
It's the broad.
It's the
That's the broad.
I'll be your broad-in-law.
I love it.
Broad-in-law? Is that a new term? I'm not.
Broad-in-law? I shouldn't have said that out loud.
No, broad-in-law. Yeah.
On the towels?
I like that. I'm going to use that one.
I know. That's what I'm worried about.
I'm going to put it in my contacts on my phone.
Casey, I don't think Jimmy Mike knows that what happened. You should tell him.
Hey, what happened?
I don't know. We're engaged.
wait. Married. So, sweet Melissa, congratulations, goes to Japan, finds panties, and then somehow she gets engaged? When did this happen?
Well, because she came at the back with that chicken with the cheese from Lawson's, I knew she was the one. So that's you got to lock that up.
No, she brought back coffee. She brought that coffee back.
Oh, the Georgia coffee.
That's right.
Yeah, and you were like, she's the one.
Absolutely.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hey, let me tell you what my grandfather told me when I first got engaged. My grandfather told me when I got engaged. He goes, I go, Grandpa, I'm getting married. He goes, wow, well, suffer like the rest of us. And I was like, how do I tell you?
Wow. You must have watched Transformers, the animated movie as a kid, too.
I'm like, thanks, Gramps. I appreciate that.
I'd That's like awesome. To see the manager.
So I want to hear about who somebody talk about Japanese or Asian or something like that, because I thought I'd segue into something funny.
No, hopefully not.
Well, racist. We definitely don't want anything sad, so try what? Funny.
Oh, it's not sad.
What was that? Someone's stomach?
No, some stupid motorbike going next door or going across the street. Yay me. So I'm taking Megan to work, and Big Ed can appreciate this shit to the T. When Big Ed and I would take, I don't know what they called my kid, but I'll call him Big Mike. 2.0.
Yeah.
Right.
We would drop him off and pick him up from school, and we would be wailing. Am I right, Big Ed? We would be wailing. Jesus. Fifth I know dimension. The name of the band. Yes.
Fifth Dimension.
Yes. Okay. So today, I'm taking y'all's niece to work, and y'all know she works for the Lord's Chicken.
Right. And what's the Lord's Chicken? You know, the chicken joint that one likes.
Yes, but Turning Japanese comes on. Japanese. I cranked that bitch up to 80. And she's like, Mom, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm educating you. This was the beginning of punk rock. So I have
Amelia. I think more like new wave, but go ahead.
But you're right. Whatever you want to call it. But Amelia's in the car seat. She's losing her mind happy. And then I have the other three-year-old in the back seat losing his mind happy because they're just shaking their fists, banging their heads. And then I'm turning Japanese. I really think so. And she's like, Mom, is this appropriate? I said, absolutely not. I love it.
I'm still trying to get over you and Big Ed blasting Fifth Dimension when you guys listen to Age of Aquarius.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I love that song.
No idea. Aquarius! Yeah.
This is the tube that
on the show.
Yeah.
So I rolled down the windows when I dropped her off, all the windows, and there's this man outside, and he just looked at Meg and he goes, are you okay? And she says, of course I am. And she goes, of course I am. That's my mom. So I look out the window and I go, hey, this is our right. This is the best part of being like a parent of a teenager. And he goes, oh, no, I totally get it. My kid worked here 3 years ago when he was a teenager, and I did the same crap to him. So that was that fun day.
Nice. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, there you go.
Yay.
Yep. A rite of passage.
It is, but Big Ed and I used to do that to my kid.
Yeah, we'd take him, we'd always, because Dad had in the pickup truck had a cassette of, or it was a CD, or something of the Fifth Dimension.
Oh my God, and that pickup truck was the best thing ever.
That was a good little truck.
Yeah.
It was a great truck. You should.
I used to do burnouts with that thing too.
Yeah,
he
did.
Yeah, he had like an AC or something went out, so he just decided to trade it in and not deal with it.
I believe this is a trend for Big Ed. Hoopty one.
Burnouts on Hoopty one. Look, I try to get at least a bark out of it. Even the old HQ21 got a chirp in reverse.
Hoopty XC1.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's some action photos. You go to his Facebook page.
Yeah, we'll have to revive that somehow.
Got to figure it out.
Hey, with that said, and I don't want to cut you off there, Mama D, but, Big Ed had something special planned for us tonight, something a little different.
He does. What is it?
Well, hold on. I'm trying to.
Is he doing a burnout?
No.
I hope so.
Tires are expensive nowadays.
All right, hold on. Big Ed's rock and roll.
Retrospective.
I think I might have alluded to last week or the week before that I think I've done 22. I don't know. Casey knows how many. It's almost two dozen. I can't believe it's been that many.
23. 23 is the official count.
Wow. And I said, you know what? I think I need to share what are Big Ed's top 40 must-have albums in your collection. But these will be in no particular order. And tonight I'll do 40 to 36. And like I said, they're in no particular order. I think when I get to the top 10, though, there will be like, maybe there'll be 10 special albums. I don't know. We'll see. I could probably do a top 100, but I've been trying to limit it to 40. So I started with number 40, Aerosmith Rocks, came out in 1976. I think nice. The most rocking Lightning in a Bottle album that they've ever done. That I think any band. You have Back in the Saddle, which was a staple opener for many years until Get a Grip, that tour, when I started with Living on the Edge. But it had some radio staples too, Back in the Saddle, Last Child. They still see regular airplay on terrestrial satellite radio, on terrestrial and satellite radio. You got a ballad on there, Home Tonight, the last song. You have some autobiographical stuff like Sick as a Dog. There'd be Steven Tyler banging Joe Perry for some blow when they were writing this album. Amazing. Combination and Nobody's Fault, probably the heaviest and most raw of their rock repertoire. For Aerosmith to that date. A real favorite. This really starts shaping me into the heavier side of rock and roll. Then I have Faith No More, Angel Dust, came out in 1992. I was very surprised that it sold 2.5 million copies. Not because it was such a great album, but I don't think this got any airplay that I can remember. Because when this came out in 92, I was driving a truck 8 to 10 hours a day. I was on the road driving. And I listened to JRR and what's the other station, Casey? 96.5 was a classic. Was a classic rock, and never heard any of this.
Big Ed.
Yeah.
Was it a watermelon truck that you were driving?
No. That was in 80.
Second.
87, somewhere around there, the watermelon incident. It's not Big Ed's story time this week. We don't have time for that story. Okay. But we will. It'll have to be shared. So anyway, Faith No More, they have 5 singles were released that were supposedly played on the radio. I never heard any of this. I was instantly drawn to this listening to it at a softball practice. It had a ballad that rocked. It was an acoustic track with other melodic trance-like riffs. I was hooked. That's just the way that Faith No More is. They get these riffs, and they're very like trance-like sometimes. Mike Patton's vocal range and sound effects in his voices, like in the songs Kindergarten and Jizz Lover. Just a great album. It's a must-have for that alternative heavy side. Number 38, The Doors Morrison Hotel, came out in 1970. I discovered this with my friend Dilo when we were 15. Roadhouse Blues was the favorite back then, and then evolved into really diving into their other stuff like Maggie McGill, Peace Frog, and Queen of the Highway. This is a must-have. You have to have this in your collection. And it's cool because side one is the Hard Rock Cafe, and side two, starting with Land Ho, is the Morrison Hotel. This is back to roots blues rock for the Doors. Number 37, Lynyrd Skynyrd. I think 10 years ago, I don't think I would have even thought about this, but Lynyrd Skynyrd, Street Survivors, came out in 1977, the last Skynyrd album with the original members, with four radio staples: That Smell, What's Your Name, I Know a Little, and You Got That Right. These are on the same rotation with Aerosmith stuff. These put the classic in classic rock. These songs do, and there's a Merle Haggard tune called Honky Tonk Nighttime Man. It's not an original, but a great version. A band stopped short at the height of their popularity and creativity. Don't know if I would have had this in my top 40 10 years ago. Great album. Zebra, the self-titled, came out 1983. Now, I would have called this album Zebra, Who's Behind the Door? But that's me. Zebra wanted to be like Zeppelin, so they wanted to do a self-titled album just called Zebra. A great album. I had this on a cassette in 1981 because Greg Baumgartner he was a wizard at recording stuff on the radio and knew when songs were going to be played. There are two songs that got airplay calls. Who's Behind the Door and One More Chance. An album greatly influenced by the likes of Zeppelin and Rush. Randy Jackson screams like a young Bobby Plant, except an octave higher, and can still nail these tunes live to date. A band not marketed correctly. This has a lot of the Duke Boy of Nessaquag in it as well. Those are from 40 to 36. Those are my five this week, and next week I'll have five more.
Nice.
Wow. I like it a lot.
I have all those albums, but the Street Survivors of Lynyrd Skynyrd. And
yeah, that's I think
I have that on vinyl.
That's a great nice album.
Yeah.
You can't.
It's a weird album because that's like when the plane wreck. It's like almost ominous looking at the album cover now.
Yeah, they had to recall those albums after the accident. They recalled them and they airbrushed the flames out of it.
Yeah, they took the flames out.
Yeah. The guys, if you look at the album cover of Street Survivors, the members that were killed in a plane crash were all in flames on the album cover.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of surreal.
Kind of like the whole Keith Moon thing, not to be taken away. Remember we talked about the Who, Who Are You? That's another... you know, not to be taken away. But they never changed the album cover. It stayed. I mean, I have. Bizarre.
So I have a couple things about these five albums that you talked about. All right. Well, one thing I'll say about Lynyrd Skynyrd. So the two songs that get the most radio play to this day is, Sweet Home Alabama and, that other one, Freebird.
What's Your Name?
I'm saying Freebird and Sweet Home Alabama are probably the two heaviest. And you know what? They're probably my two least favorite Skynyrd songs.
Home Alabama.
They're fine songs, but
Freebird,
You just get tired of hearing them. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? Give me Three Steps.
Give Me Three Steps is
Call,
a good one.
Call Me the Breeze.
That smell. That's got to be one of my all time favorites.
Hey, this Merle Haggard tune, the Honky Tonk Nighttime Man, dude, that thing fucking rocks. Just some good writing. They were at the peak of their creativity, They were just stopped short,
Aerosmith Rocks is of the early Aerosmith. Aerosmith the 70s, that's my favorite Aerosmith album.
I think this is number four for them at this time.
Yeah. Yeah, but for me, it's like my favorite of that generation of Aerosmith till they got clean and came out with Pump, which is my favorite Aerosmith album. To me, that's like the most polished.
I like Toys in the Attic. My favorite Aerosmith
album. Great album. You're not going to go wrong with Toys in the Attic. Rocks is an album that Slash of Guns N' Roses talked about that's the album that made him want to play guitar. He's like, wow. That's the album that made him want to sit on the edge of his bed and learn every in and out of playing guitar was that album. And I've heard that multiple stories of big guitarists from the 80s and 90s. Mm. They all talk about Aerosmith Rocks. They're like, you bought that album, you studied it.
Dude, Brad Whitford played as every much the guitarist as Joe Perry is.
Correct.
He's a classically trained guitarist, a very underrated guitarist.
Yeah, agreed.
And they all wrote on this album. And this album was produced by Aerosmith. This is before Steven really got to be a control freak, where he would be the producer, you know, or the engineer.
Right.
This is the whole group producing. And they were in the midst. They were still pushing that monkey up the hill too. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, you get songs like "Sick as a Dog," which is an autobiographical song of Steven Tyler asking Joe Perry for some blow through the door of this mansion they're renting to write the album. And Joe Perry's like hoarding the drugs. He's like, no.
Steven Tyler's dope sick. You talk about a band that was. Burn a candle at both ends, but still successful. Oh, boy.
And they did it for a decade, like hard for a decade. A decade and then some.
The Doors, Roadhouse Blues, is probably my favorite Doors album. It's really compact. I think it's like 33 minutes. It's really tight. Maggie McGill is such a great closing song to that album. That's such a great closing song.
That has such a great flow to it.
Yeah.
From start to finish. That's what I loved about that album too. You know, and these are all albums that have a nice flow to them.
You know. Yeah, I love Zebra. I mean that album never gets old. That's in my, you know, repertoire, if you will. And then but the last album I want to bring up, which you know, we were actually talking about today. It's weird. I was introduced to this album the same way you were, in different ways. You said you first heard Faith No More's Angel Dust at a softball practice. Well, I had an older sister that played in a competitive softball league for Outback Steakhouse. And I used to go to the practice. I was like the team mascot. And I used to do long toss with all the guys before the game to warm them up. And one of the guys had his truck. And he had, you know, the windows down and he was blasting that album. That was the first time I really heard that album. And I'm still surprised. You said there were five singles. I think I remember one song that got played on the radio.
It could have. I mean, look, I didn't hear every song that was on the radio, but I heard a lot of music back then.
No, I used to listen to a lot of radio. You know, growing up in Tampa, it was – I mean, YNF was more still like more album orientated. They're a little like older rock style, but I mean, 98 Rock was a little bit more edgier and they had a little bit more open playlist. They didn't play. They would always play the same two Faith No More songs, which were from the prior album. You know, so I don't know. I thought it was funny though. We kind of got exposed the same way.
Yeah, we were in a Brinker league, which is Chili's, Mackerel, On the Border, all the Brinker.
You know, I don't think that's a thing anymore. You know, that used to be a big thing, like the restaurants with the softball leagues.
Yeah, they fucking pussies. Oops.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we'll edit that out. In the final cut.
Yeah.
Oh, look at Mysterio's.
Oh yeah. Well,
see the onesie. Now that I can see it, it's not like supposed to be like a transformer type pattern.
Yeah,
is that what it is? A transformer?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird little uniform, and you know, a reference to everyone else at home if you're watching SmackDown. Big Ed is talking about the Mysterios, specifically Dominic Mysterio. That's on Fox right now. So.
Yeah, because when we saw him, he had the Square D onesie. And I let him know.
Yes, he did. Blue and yellow.
Big Ed did a great job heckling.
Yeah, he was in fine form.
In top. Yeah, top I was feeling the zone.
So hey, so was the whole.
I felt spectrum. Obligated to let people know.
Everyone, I think everyone was laughing a lot. So it's pretty good. Good crowd reaction.
But y'all never met The Rock like me and my boy, and we met him 6 different times in Tampa.
Wow.
Yes.
Didn't know that.
When I worked for Einstein Bagels, across the street, you know, was USF Sundome. So back then, that was a huge venue.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. Everything. Music and, yeah, everything went through the Sundome.
Everything.
Worst acoustics so, ever.
It didn't matter. I got free tickets for everything. So I got SmackDown tickets. I got, this is so gay. Well, I'm not going to say gay, but fun. Yeah.
Fun's better.
Backstreet Boys tickets. Yeah, but it was, that's so funny, Melissa. It was so much fun. I mean, they had like a Steph.
What's that?
The free tickets that I had, Stephen Wolf. So many.
That's pretty fun. Well, does anyone have any last words before we shift off into the great abyss that is I don't know
the end of the show. I think we're in the abyss.
Yes. Well, then we want to thank Subway Slam, future gubernatorial candidate. Yes, he's got it right. But we are supporting Andrew Yang, the Yang Gang. We are the Yang Gang.
Is that like a gang bang?
Is anyone excited about football tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bucs
play the Bengals.
Yeah, preseason.
I'm excited. I can't wait.
As our show goes off the rails, yes, this is Big Mike saying thank you for joining us on More Beer and Cheap Seats. It's Friday night. Join us next Friday. We'll have fresh, wonderful content for you. Casey, what do you got for us?
Like and subscribe. Thank you. Peace out. Be safe. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Love you guys.
Love you. Love too.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Later.
Bye.
Later.
Bye. Later. Bye. Bye.